Let's bring in our buddy EJ Raddick from NHL Network. And EJ, thanks for joining us as always. Appreciate the visit.
Hey, my pleasure.
Let's start with EJ's naughty list before we get into hockey talk. Who or what has made you mad this week that you would like to air with us and feel a little bit better after saying it? Anybody made you mad?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody's really made me that mad this week.
Really?
You know, it's. I mean, you know, I try. Listen, as you get to this stage in life, I try to be a little bit more, you know, peaceful in things, and try to be a little more understanding where I can be. So, I would say at this point, nobody, you know, has made me that mad yet that I feel I need to air those grievances. But I'll tell you this: if somebody does, I'll call you guys.
Okay.
And let you know.
Okay, so telling us you're a calmer, gentler EJ Raddick these days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm involved in youth hockey in my area with my son, and some of the people involved in that make me pretty mad, but I don't think your listeners care about any of those people, so we're just going to move right on.
All right, let's do it. Thanks for playing along. All right, looks like the Bruins and the Ducks have struck a deal. What do you make of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those deals that works for everybody, right? The Bruins get a player in Cache, who's a pretty good player. He's got some speed. He's got some skill. He's got one more year on a contract that's relatively cap-friendly. I think it's 2.6 against the cap. So, you know, and the Bruins are looking for that kind of second-line offensive help. So there's a guy that can fit, you know, what they're looking for. Now, maybe not as high-end as some of the other players they've been linked to, you know, like a Palmieri or a Kreider, or they were in the mix for Blake Coleman, but still speed, skill, and some upside there, and under contract. So that's the first thing. You know, so they get something they want. They also get, but they have to pay for it, they get to move David Backes' contract out, and, you know, that was kind of one that was hanging around their neck a little bit. Self-inflicted wound. They signed David as a free agent to a longer-term deal, and he's in his early 30s. Hasn't worked out as the contract has moved along. So they are able to move that off the books, with the exception of the 25% retention on the remainder of the deal. And to do that, they had to give the Anaheim Ducks a first-round pick in the upcoming draft. So, you know, that's for Anaheim on their side. They're willing to move the player, and they were willing to take on. They have the cap room to take on Backes, but they wanted to be paid, basically, to do it. And that's what happens. When you have cap room and you have cap space, you're able to kind of weaponize that, for lack of a better term, and then get an asset. And we've seen it over the course of time in the league since we've gone to, you know, the cap, we're in a cap world, and they've taken advantage of that. So they get themselves, as a rebuilding group, they get themselves an extra first-round draft pick. So I think everybody kind of got what they wanted there. And, you know, in the end, we'll see if Kasha can come in and be a really, you know, find a chemistry with David Krejci. Then all of a sudden the Boston Bruins might really have something, because they'll have some consistent scoring on that second line.
EJ, I was a B and C student in school. You know, that's not great. It's not horrible.
Hey,
allowed me to graduate.
I'm with you.
You know, allowed me to graduate. You. But, you know, it's not sexy. I'm not you know, going to pretend like, you know, it's kind of like this trade deadline. There's been a lot of movement, you know, some B's and C's, but not really any A's, anything really jumping out that's shiny. Do you think there's going to be any shiny carrots before Monday that get moved?
Well, I mean, the shiniest one that's been talked about a lot is Chris Kreider with the Rangers, and I think he can be a difference maker. I mean, he is a big, strong, fast, really skilled guy, goes to the net hard, experienced in big games, had, you know, played in a lot of them for the Rangers and was a good player in big games for that team. He could be somebody that could really help push a team forward. You know, like, he could push the Dallas Stars forward. They need a little more scoring. He could push, you know, the Colorado Avalanche forward with the injuries they have there. I mean, he could push a lot of teams forward, but it'll be at a higher price. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, the teams, you know, want to pay that price for a guy who's can be a UFA at the end of the season. So he's the one, you know, of the guys that have been out there and are still out there that we know of, he's the one that I would say is the shiniest, to use your term, the shiniest object. Now, will someone like Henrik Lundqvist waive his no-trade clause or no move clause and be willing to be moved and go, you know, maybe to Colorado where they could perhaps, depending upon who you talk to, use an upgrade in goal. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So, you know, in terms of other shiny pieces, it's hard to say. I mean, I think it's, you know, when you have players that fit that category, I think if you're going to move them, you'd like to move them in, you know, at the draft, because then you have, you know, 30 or so other teams that can get in on them, and everybody kind of knows their cap situation. When you do it at the deadline, you're dealing with a limited number of teams, and probably, you know, you're in a situation where it's harder to get real return on the value. So, you know, I never want to say never, because things happen in this league, and you know, things that we don't expect do happen. But I suspect that it'll continue to be a lot of bit pieces kind of moving around to different places for draft picks. I think that's where we're at.
EJ Raddick on the line with us. NHL Network is where you can find him. Does a tremendous job covering and talking about the league. So as you can imagine, in this market in Nashville, we're trying to figure out. We do a weekly with David Poile on this show. We constantly ask the question to David, you know, what are you thinking? So as we sit here on this Friday before the trading deadline, add, subtract, or stand pat, what do you think is probably the answer we'll know on Monday afternoon about what the Predators did or didn't do?
Well, I think that the West being wide open and the Predators having invested heavily in this team already, and the fact that you got games in hand and you're right there despite having kind of a shaky, less than hoped for first half or so. I think if they could add maybe another body on defense that fits within the cap room they have, I think they would do that. I think they've invested, you know, a lot on the offense now, and I think it's just up to those guys to really be better. I know that, you know, it was funny. I was thinking about, the team and the injuries they've had this year, and so many teams have had a lot of injuries. But, like, Arvidsson was the guy that got hurt, and he got hit in that Bertuzzo hit him with that cheap shot, and he ended up getting suspended for a few games. Probably should have been a few more than that. And he's come back and he struggled. And, you know, that's a reminder to me. Guys get hurt. And it doesn't necessarily – they come back to play. It doesn't mean they're necessarily completely healthy and where you want them to be. So they got to hope they can get more out of him and some of those other top-end forwards they have. And Saros has played better in goal of late. And, you know, Pekka has had a few, you know, more hopeful games of late. So, you know, for me, I said it, I think, talking to you guys earlier in the year, and it was one of the reasons I thought it was probably wise to make a coaching change, was I think they just needed to clean up the way they play in the D zone, and I think a lot of times that's within the system that you use, and so maybe a little more help there on the, you know, that back end of their defense, and seems like things are moving a little bit more in the right direction for them, so, you know, that's what I would do. I don't think you're subtracting just because you've made a lot of, you know, you've made a lot of investments there with that group, and in the conference this year, you guys know it is crazy in the West this year. I mean, you get in this year, anybody who gets in is going to have a chance to get on a run. So I think if you're David Poile and you're that experienced and you're watching these the tea leaves kind of unfold, you're just hoping that your group can kind of get to where you thought they could be as the season winds down here, get a spot in the playoffs, and then, you know, hopefully things are, you have that momentum to make a push.
EJ, with the prices of different players right now, and, you know, there's not that much out there. Do you think it's going to make it harder for David Poile to, if he were to get an offer for somebody like a Mikhail Granlund or a Craig Smith, two of his UFAs that are coming up, do you think it's going to make it harder for him to say no with some of these contenders trying to add?
Well, I think he's got to look at, you know, when you have UFAs, that is a consideration. You got to look at them and say, okay, what do we think about the future? Are we going to make a pitch for this player? And, you know, do we have somebody at the American League level or somebody on our team that we could kind of move up and can we kind of, you know, can we move on with the player, like, without a player, one or two of those guys? And, you know, I do think there's a pretty deep group of players offensively there. I don't think they've played up to what they can. So I, they would probably think about it, just because you know, there might be, if a team is interested and they're willing to pay a significant pick or a good prospect, I think you have to think about it. But again, that West is wide open this year, and I would, if I'm any of those teams, and if I think I would love to be in that mix of those eight teams and have a shot to get to the Cup final this year, because we saw what happened last year. St. Louis was a real good team, but I mean, they were in last place on January 1st, and they went on to win it. And not everything's going to happen like that every year, for sure. But the Western Conference this year has been up and down, and I would love to be in the playoffs if I'm in the West this year.
EJ Raddick is with us from the NHL Network. You can catch him on NHL Now at 3 o'clock Central, but also their trade deadline coverage on Monday beginning at 7 a.m. Central Time. There are a lot of questions with this team. I mean, we've asked them and tried to answer them all year long, EJ. But one of the biggest to me right now is Philip Forsberg. This is someone that a lot of us felt he'd be a 40-goal scorer this year. He's 25 years old. You can say he's probably not even in his prime yet, and has a lot left in the tank for sure. But he's at 18 goals, and it's just something that's puzzling, because I think for this team to be successful, they need Philip Forsberg to score.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, like I say, Ryan Johansson and Arvidsson, I mean, those are the big-time players. And every single team that's a good team needs their high-end players to produce and to, earn the money they make in a salary cap league. And, the thing for me that I saw when I saw the Preds, I saw them on at the Winter Classic, and I saw them subsequently after the coaching change against the Devils in New Jersey, is the pushback there? Is that pushback that you want in games there? And against Dallas, it wasn't there. And, they had a 2-0 lead in that game, as you guys well know. And, the Dallas Stars just kind of huffed and puffed and got back in the game, and there was no pushback. And against the Devils, there was more of that. And in recent times, there's been more of that. But, we know Philip Forsberg's had a body of work that he's been a goal scorer in this league. He's kind of been a streaky scorer in some ways, like a lot of guys are. So they just got to, again, you got to believe that he's going to figure it out and find his way. And, with some of these other guys underperforming, that impacts your high-end guys as well, because, all of a sudden the performance, the play of players around them isn't quite as good, and all of a sudden it's harder for them to do the things they do. So, there's a lot of guys when I look at that roster this year that I'd say, boy, I think you can get more out of them. And, they need to kind of find a way to get those guys going over these next 6 weeks. And I think they can do it, because the body of work for a lot of those players has been really good over the years.
So you brought up the West being wide open, and I'll just use these four teams that are fighting for the wild card spots: Winnipeg, Calgary, Arizona, Nashville. I keep waiting for one of them to grab the baton and run away with it. And I can't figure out, obviously I cover this team in Nashville, so, naturally I want to think it's them, but they're all very talented. Which one's going to do it? Do you think that there is a team that's going to start to pull away and show that they belong?
No.
Fair answer.
I think it's going to be much of the same, because it's really competitive. The teams are close, and they're going to play one another, and there's 3-point games. And I get the sense that this is going to be teams battling it out right down the stretch, and it's going to continue to be close. But I think all of them have the ability to get on a little bit of a run, and I'm sure that's what David Boyle and John Hines are hoping there in Nashville. And Winnipeg, I'd say this. Winnipeg was decimated in the offseason with changes to their roster on the right side of the defense. I mean, when you think last year they had Trouba, Byfuglien, and Myers on the right side of their defense, and, those guys are all gone. And now, they have Neil Pionk, who's come over from the Rangers, who's been really good for them. And they just went out and got Dylan DeMello. I mean, I got to give Winnipeg a lot of credit, and I think a lot of it goes to Connor Hellebuck, who has played really good this year. I mean, 2 years ago, he was excellent. Last year, he was, I thought, kind of average. But this year, for the most part of the season, he's the guy who's played a lot of games and has been really good for them. And that's why the Winnipeg Jets are hanging around. And, they're a team that I've kind of underestimated, I think, because of that change on defense, all those players. But there's something going on with that group in that room. They've hung in there this year, and they seem to really, for the lack of a better term, they really care. And you got to want it. You got to be emotional, and you got to want it on a night-to-night basis. And I give that group a lot of credit, because to lose three players to your defense, three right-shot guys like that, and to still be sitting where they're sitting, I think it's a real testament to the guys in that room and the coaching staff, because in a lot of circumstances, that thing could have capsized this year, and they're still hanging in there.
We'll be watching today and certainly on Monday. We appreciate the visit, as always, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. My pleasure. And if I think of anybody that makes me mad, I'm calling you back.
You call us. We'll be waiting.
All right.
E.J. Raddick, NHL Network. Right now, he said he's in a good place. Nobody's made him mad.
Yeah, he sounded happy.
Youth hockey can do that, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Youth sports, period. Come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.